Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith. Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Long Box, guys. My name is Thomas Strange. With me, as always, some of my best friends since I was a little kid, Joshua Harper. How you doing? What are you drinking? And let me congratulate you on running a fine star campaign with absolutely no action in it so far.
Hey, first of all, there are plenty of opportunities for you people to just pull out guns and start mowing people down. You not taking them is role-playing, not me preventing you from doing action. That's your party. That is not me.
Fine.
There were plenty of people you could have teleported.
Sorry, but this was an airing of grievances?
Is this Festivus?
It's like anyway, Festivus in July.
I'm doing fine. I'm drinking a Whirlpool. It's under my calorie count. Take that, Mike.
I can't take it.
No, don't take it. I love it.
you would be sober if I took that.
And sad.
Yeah. Same thing. Hmm. How you doing, Tom? What are you drinking?
Tom? Tom? How are you doing, Tom?
What are you drinking? I'm good.
Tom, we lost you there for a minute. How you doing?
You did. I'm sorry. I'm doing great, and I'm drinking Thompson's Water Seal. It is a brand of scotch called Thompson, and it's $9 for a bucket. And I'm starting to grow really fond of it.
Is that just paint thinner?
It might be.
Okay. Just checking.
I do buy it at Home Depot.
Oh, aged in an oak barrel, Mike.
Yeah. And Mikey, did we get to what you're drinking? I faded out for a second.
I am drinking Eagle Rare Bourbon Whiskey. It is a Buffalo Trace creation.
Buffalo Trace, a fine whiskey choice. Tommy, did we get to you? I missed out a little bit there.
I'm just drinking some water tonight because my stomach is not doing so well.
Well, let's hope you escape the getting full-on sick. Speaking of escapes,
oh.
Thank you. Today we're going to be talking about Scott Free, better known as Mr. Miracle, a super cool superhero with a lot in his past that people might not know about, some really interesting tidbits, and to give us all that is going to be our good friend Mike, our DC expert. Mikey, no pressure. You're the DC expert.
So Mr. Miracle was created by Jack the King Kirby back in 1971, premiering in Mr. Miracle. He was part of Kirby's Fourth World series. So give you a little bit of background. Kirby was one of the main creators of Marvel Comics, along with Stan Lee, created, you know, Fantastic Four, Incredible Hulk, you know, the Iron Man, the list goes on and on, right? He gets upset with Marvel Comics and decides, the heck with it, I'm going over to DC, I'm going to work for them. And they're like, come on over. And so the first thing he gets is Jimmy Olsen, because it's the lowest selling comic that they have. And that's where he starts to introduce the Fourth World characters. And then one of his creations is Mr. Miracle. His idea is actually based on a writer that, well, I think, Tom, you know him best of all because he's inside of you.
Let me just say that right now I can feel that spot on my head where he touched me multiple times, throbbing. And that, of course, is Jim Steranko. And I got the full Steranko at one of those cons, and I will never forget it. A very intimate moment and one I'll never forget. And he told me it was better than an autograph. And you know what? Jim Steranko was right.
Yeah, you can't argue with an escape artist. So Steranko was an escape artist. And so Kirby takes that idea and he creates Mr. Miracle. Mr. Miracle is one of the new gods from, like I said, the Fourth World. He's from the planet of New Genesis. And when he is a child, his father, in order to broker peace, the High Father, in order to broker peace with Darkseid, says, okay, you give me your son and I'll give you my son. Orion goes to New Genesis to live a happy, happy life under the care and tutelage of the High Father. And Scott Free goes over to Apocalypse, where he's promptly thrown into a dungeon and forgotten about. And over the years, he slowly learns how to break himself out of first the jail cell that he's in. And then he keeps on doing it, and then he'll sneak back in, and then he'll break out again. So eventually he becomes adept at breaking in and out of anything in the world. He goes down to Earth because he's able to escape Apocalypse. And when he gets there, he runs into a guy named Thaddeus Brown. And Thaddeus Brown is Mr. Miracle. He's a renowned escape artist, along with his assistant, the ever-present, longtime friend Oberon, who is a little person. During one of the tricks, Mr. Miracle says, "Hey, can I try that?" He does a trick, and Thaddeus Brown is amazed. Holy moly, how did he possibly do that? Some bad guys from Apocalypse are looking for Mr. Miracle, or they're looking for Scott Free. They see Scott Free was wearing Mr. Miracle's costume, and so they just assume, okay, great, we'll kill Mr. Miracle. They end up killing Thaddeus Brown while he's dressed as Mr. Miracle. In order to pay homage to him, Scott Free takes up the identity of Mr. Miracle and continues to be an escape artist. He also ends up marrying one of the female Furies from Apocalypse, Big Barda. Goes on to become a member of the Justice League International. He has several different comic book series, first one being written by Jack Kirby. Later on, he gets a series in the 80s and then again in the 90s. And he just had one recently in the 2000s. And he currently has a series, a 12-issue miniseries going on by Tom King, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Now, as a new god from New Genesis, he has immortality. He has superhuman physical attributes. So he's stronger than most men. He's more agile. He is the world's, or probably the universe's, greatest escape artist. He is a genius inventor. He is a master of hand-to-hand combat. He never gives up because, you know, he grew up where he could have gone just given up, and he doesn't. He has knowledge of what the anti-life equation is, which is something that Darkseid really, really wants. And he's got the Mother Box, which is what Kirby uses to explain away all of his amazing abilities to escape out of things. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell. He's also got flying anti-gravity discs that he can stand on, and he can use the Mother Box to boom tube, which is a way of teleporting from place to place. I've rambled on about Mr. Miracle. What do you guys think? What is your favorite Mr. Miracle series?
Tommy, let's go to you first, because I think you're a little more entrenched in the DC universe than either Josh or I.
So I like the original that was done by Jack Kirby. You know, the first line of stories, you know, one of my favorites is when he keeps being hounded by agents of Apocalypse, so he goes back to Apocalypse and goes back to Grand and Good and says, you know, I'm here to be done with this once and for all and to win my freedom from Apocalypse by trial by combat. And so she takes him in and she brings him to a secret section of her orphanage, and she pits him to battle the Lump in the Lump's own world in his mind, and Scott Free has to battle the Lump, who controls everything in his mind, every piece of the scenery, every piece of the universe in his mind. And Scott Free ends up defeating the Lump at his own game, just the way, you know, Mr. Miracle would, by using his smarts. And it was just a great series. And, of course, it was had great artwork because it's all Jack Kirby artwork. And it was just a fantastic run on that series. And that was a particularly good book. And it was within the first 12 issues or so.
What about you, Josh?
I have not finished yet, but I'm really enjoying the new Tom King series. I mean, that guy is just killing it all over the place. I've always liked the Mr. Miracle character. Like I said, like Tom mentioned, I haven't always been a big DC fan, but I did like their Space Comics Legion. And Mr. Miracle is one of those characters that's – for a long time, I didn't realize the extra powers he had. I knew he was ageless in the immortal sense. But he very rarely displays sort of the superhuman physical attributes that are sort of given to the new gods. Like, you don't really see him throwing cars around or anything like that, even though ostensibly he can. But I really just liked the idea that he was, you know, masterminding plans. He would memorize routes and passages and places and maps and schematics, and he was sort of like that, the tactician. I like the flying discs on his feet were just sort of like a nice ad, and then Barda being his wife and sort of being the muscle. I love the Barda character and Oberon. They just make a great, nice little well-clicking team. And they all had their sort of roles, and I never saw Miracle really step on that, even though, you know, if you're looking at the stat sheet in a game, you know, his physical stats are stacked, but you don't see him really rely on that. He mostly relies on his wits and tactics. And he's a great character. He's a vulnerable person, even though he's persevered through all the torture they lived on Apocalypse. He's got a great costume, and great name. He's a good character. He's an easy character to like.
And he is very likable. I'll give you that. I loved him in the Justice League International series where Justice League International was a comedy series. There's no doubt about that. But Mr. Miracle was actually one of the straight guys in the whole comedy. He's an easygoing guy, but he was just enjoyable, and the way Big Barda just reacted to all the crazy shit that was going on, and he kept her centered, and she actually keeps him centered, right? They are one of the greatest love affairs in comic books. Scott Free would break into hell to steal Barda out of it if he had to. I love that relationship between him and Barda. I think it's one of the best in comic books, and they explore – has such indomitable will. Granny Goodness tried to break him and didn't succeed. Not only did it not succeed, he convinced Barda to give up all of her years of training as one of Granny Goodness's muscles and come over and escape to Earth with him. So I just love that story. What about you, Tom?
Well, I have to say one of my favorite things about Mr. Miracle actually is Granny Goodness and the orphanage. Such a hellish place is hard to imagine. Children are taken there and tortured and broken and forced to fight each other in the hope that 1 out of 100 survive long enough to become great warriors. It is one of the most hellish ideas I can come up with for raising a child. And Scott Free never broke under the tremendous yoke of this. And I always thought that was like a really cool testament to Scott Free. And he never became, you know, as brutal as his surroundings. You know, he was always just trying to get out. He wasn't out for vengeance. He wasn't trying to kill Granny Goodness. He was trying to escape.
Yeah, and I think one of the greatest things about him is the fact that after he escaped, he wasn't trying to get back to New Genesis, to the father that gave him up for that war. He was like, I want nothing to do with you people. You would send a small child to Apocalypse. You guys aren't the good guys. You might think you're the good guys, but you're not. Mr. Miracle is the good guy in that whole storyline. And just a side note, if you've read Metal, in the series, Batman asked Superman to store the anti-monitor's basically universe-killing device in the Fortress of Solitude and lock it up so no one could ever get to it. So Superman locks it up, and even Superman doesn't have the key to get in. So in order to get in, when Batman wants to get in and get to that that piece of equipment, he calls on Mr. Miracle to break in. And Mr. Miracle breaks in, and he comes out opening the door, and he goes, I don't know why you want that, and I don't want to know why you want that. I'm out of here. So better escape artist in breaking in and out than Batman.
So I think it's interesting that in those early issues, not only does Barda come and hang out with Scott Free, but also she brings some of her Furies with her, and they're all hanging out with Mr. Miracle as part of his act on Earth. He's got Stompa, he's got the Lash, and he's got the woman with a blade. I forget her name. So he's taking some of Apocalypse elite warriors that are all kind of, you know, don't want to be on Apocalypse, and they're all part of his act for a while. And I think that's kind of interesting as well in those early issues.
Well, if we know nothing, we know this. Earth needs showgirls.
It's true.
Yeah.
And Earth is very open to circus people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We welcome all kinds in. Anyone have a last word on Scott Free, everyone's second favorite escape artist? Because Steranko's the best.
I'm going to chime in. I agree with Josh said, if you're not checking out the new Mr. Miracle by Tom King, you really should. If it's over on issue, what, 6 or 7 now, Josh?
Yeah, I think so. I'm only up to like 4 or 5, but I got a big pile of unread comics behind me. So,
yeah, I only read the first issue and I put it down. And I'm like, I'm going to read this all in one sitting. So I'm just waiting for the series to finish.
That's always the conundrum.
Yeah.
Well, there are always new and better comics out there to read. Maybe not better, but always new ones. Like for instance, Mike, what do you got in the front of the long box?
That's a great segue, and I'm going to screw it up for you because at the front of the long box, I have something a little different. Usually I preview comic books, but today I want to talk about previews in general. San Diego Comic-Con just happened, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on what you thought of the trailers that they released. Did everybody see the Shazam trailer?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That blew my mind. That looks great.
It does look pretty good.
It's certainly a break from what DC is doing. I can't imagine it's worse than what DC is doing. So I think it'll be a breath of fresh air. But I don't think it has any inroads into what they've already done and how they integrate it into the – if they even intend to put him in and around anything Justice League related. But that as a standalone, I would go see.
I think they are going to put him in. He recently was part of the Justice League, and he was brought into the Justice League in the New 52 by Geoff Johns. And Geoff Johns loves this character, and he is the guy who's in charge of all the creative decisions in the DC movies now. He's kind of like the Kevin Feige. So I think we're going to see him coming up in Justice League and doing all the great interactions he usually has with Cyborg.
When you said Geoff Johns, I got him mixed up with John Jones. Did anyone else do that? Because I'm like, John Jones is in charge of the Justice League. That's a coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah, just you.
Just me, okay. Well, I'm excited for the upcoming new series of Supergirl. It's also great that we have our first trans person being hired as an actress. That's great news and a great move forward for trans visibility in the comic book universe and in television in general.
And she's going to be playing a trans character, right?
She's going to be playing a trans superhero, isn't she?
Yeah.
Well, yes. Dream Girl wasn't... I mean, it's Dream Girl. I mean, she wasn't always portrayed as a trans person.
No, I think they're just going to portray her as a trans person in the show.
Yeah, and they changed her name to Dreamer for the show.
Okie doke.
Yeah, it's Supergirl. You don't want a lot of girls running around on...
Yeah, yeah. Plus, you know, yeah. Dreamer. I'm not even familiar with Dreamer. I saw the costume online, and I was like, I can't imagine they're going to do that. That's awful.
Well, go check out Mike Grell's drawing of Dream Girl.
I'll skip it.
No, you shouldn't skip it. It's
don't skip it.
Anyway, carrying on. Aquaman trailer. Everybody see it?
Black Manta looks awesome.
Yeah, that's the only thing that looked awesome in the whole damn trailer. What personally, I hope Black Manta jumps in, kills Aquaman in the first 11 minutes, and then goes on a rampage. Because he was the only thing in that trailer.
You son of a bitch. When that shark is ready to throw down with those bullies.
Please,
I'd watch Josh's Black Manta movie.
Please,
I would too.
Please tell me at one point they're like Aquaman's going to have a villain. The villain's going to be like right on the dock, and they're going to be arguing with each other. And he's like, "What are you going to do, Aquaman? What are you going to do?" And a shark just jumps out of the water, grabs the guy, and drags him down. And Aquaman's like, "That's what I'm going to do, bro. That's what I want to see."
That would be the only good moment. That film.
I think it's
besides Black Manta killing everyone.
I think it's going to be better than Green Lantern. There, I said it.
Oh, oh. Such a high bar.
Setting the bar.
I want to see that too.
Yeah, the sequel to Fantastic Beasts. Anyone a Harry Potter fan?
I have not seen the first one, but actually now I want to see.
Careful on that limb, there, buddy.
Tom, you are lagging so far behind and adding comments. Minutes nothing. After we've we talked,
nothing doing anything. It's like you are at. Like, you know how much I hate time travel, Tom. You, sir, are a time traveler.
It's hilarious.
You're like the obnoxious drunk girl at the party who's just like 5 minutes later is like just jumping in with a comment about shit that we've already moved on from. But I like it. I say we keep it in. Just keep on going.
Just keep going.
Just keep going.
I would watch that movie that Josh and Mike both said with the shark jumping.
Yeah. See, Mike, you just described that movie to a T. It has already jumped the shark.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
The Titans TV show.
I got a problem with Robin killing a bunch of dudes with a gun. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
I'll second that emotion.
Isn't that what Robin does on a Saturday night?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with him saying fuck Batman and messing a bunch of guys up, but I really don't see any of Batman's proteges using a gun other than Jason Todd. This is Dick Grayson, right? They had the whole big thing at the beginning of the Flying Graysons, but they put him in Tim Drake's costume, and he's using guns like Jason Todd. I mean, it's just all over the place.
It's like an amalgam of Robins.
I really thought they were going to have him as Nightwing and have Jason Todd in there. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah. Brief appearance of Starfire, and it looks good.
Yeah, looks okay. We saw Beast Boy, but he didn't turn into anything.
Yeah, but that's going to obviously lead on into the Doom Patrol series. That's probably how they'll connect them. So that looks good. Did anybody watch the preview for the second season of Gifted?
No. I didn't see that. I didn't see it on the list.
Did anybody watch the first season of Gifted?
I did.
You did?
No.
Yeah.
How was it? Like, I gave up after like third or fourth episode.
You saw the first season of Heroes, right? It's basically the same thing.
Oh, and that was a good season too.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay.
Did they save the cheerleader?
Basically, I mean that's basically the first season. I thought it was okay. I thought it was worth watching. Some of the, I don't think any of them are great on TV, but I thought it was okay.
Starfire looked great.
Thank you, Tom.
What else came out? There were a couple others.
What about the Godzilla trailer?
Oh. I am in on the Godzilla trailer. I'm
sold. My penis grew a penis.
Yeah, I was fine with that. Yep, good. I'm good.
I got bored with it.
Shut up.
Oh, you got bored with seeing Mothra, Rodan, what's the three-headed one? God damn it.
So here's my problem with it, right? The original Godzilla.
Everybody.
Everybody, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on.
Everybody hurts sometimes. This is the problem I have with it. It sounds like they need all these monsters in order to save the planet.
Yeah, to fight Ghidorah.
Okay. The whole premise of the whole monsters, weren't they an allegory for nuclear destruction?
So, yes, but there was also prevention because in the originals, Ghidorah came from outer space to destroy the Earth, right? And Godzilla had to bring all the monsters together to fight Ghidorah.
Okay.
It's the same thing. It's the same plot.
All right.
Except maybe Ghidorah's not from outer space. I don't know. Just love the giant effects of giant robots and giant monsters just duking it out. It doesn't matter. You don't need a plot.
I mean,
the fact that they're speaking English doesn't even freaking matter to me. I don't care.
I mean, I'm all for this if every time one of those monsters die in the fight, they plug up a hole in the ozone.
Think how many cows Rodan has to eat, though. Just saving the planet every minute, Mike.
Every minute.
3 minutes.
Popping the cows down like M&M's.
Ever watched a preview for Glass?
Oh, yeah, that looked awesome.
I did not watch that one.
Okay. That's the Unbreakable and Split crossover.
I have heard about it, but I have not actually watched the trailer. But okay. I really liked Unbreakable. That was one of my favorite M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movies. So
I agree. And it looked pretty good.
And wait, Bruce Willis' character, his weakness is drowning?
Yeah, let's start off.
There are two weaknesses there, drowning and being thrown into the sun.
Thrown in the sun, yeah. I mean, we always forget about that.
So what about you, LT? Did you see any previews or anything from San Diego Comic-Con that you were like, oh, man, I got to see this?
No, I mean, I saw the Shazam one and I liked that one. But other than that, I haven't really had time to peruse.
Disenchantment. Did you see the preview for Disenchantment?
No.
That's Matt Groening's new fantasy-based cartoon.
From Netflix. Looks
hilarious. Love it.
Yeah, I didn't know
I love that he didn't decide to just keep all the characters. We're good. We're just going to go do something a little different.
And then Sci-Fi Channel's Night Flyers. Do you guys watch the preview for Night Flyers?
No.
It's
a sci-fi horror originally written by George Martin. Huh. Looks okay.
Did you see Krypton?
I started watching Krypton, and I have not made it through the first season.
But I
heard that Lobo is coming to the second season.
So this is what I gathered. I watched the preview for season two, and I was like, wow, if season one was like that, that's freaking awesome.
I'm like six episodes in, and it's definitely not awesome.
Huh.
It's watchable. But it's definitely not awesome.
Is everyone kneeling before Zod yet?
I think one of them's sleeping with Zod.
Yeah, close enough.
I mean, his granddaughter.
So every once in a while, to mix things up, she's kneeling before Zod.
Krypton is taking two generations before Superman's born.
But when you said his granddaughter.
Yeah. I meant strike that and reverse it.
His grandmother. Maybe
great-grandmother, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. I went generationally in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's not good either way from the imagery.
It's not bad for me in one of the directions.
Don't go all James Gunn.
Yeah.
You're going to lose a Disney movie.
Is that where you're bringing Tom to? There's a couple other trailers. Castle Rock, anybody? Stephen King fan?
I'm a King fan, and I like to see – this is like Stephen King making the Stephen King universe, like the Marvel universe. And this could be a lot of fun to watch because a lot of things can interweave. So I think of it like the Marvel universe. I think of it a little bit more like Once Upon a Time, though, like a horror Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, the thing – I just saw the announcement for Castle Rock. I haven't watched the trailer. I don't know which mantle they're really going to take up. I mean, I know it's the whole main thing, so it's like the – what's that guy who sells the creepy antiques and that sort of stuff will probably be in there. But I'm hoping they drift a little into the Talisman, right?
Well, we do see a police report about a giant dog attacking people. We also see a police report throwing the thing about a car running over multiple perps. So we get these little images of all these separate little things. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of crossover. I think we're going to see Christine. I think we're going to see Carrie. I think we're going to see Cujo. I think we're going to see all these things, you know, brought in at one time or another.
Okay.
And that's going to be on Hulu. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, so it's not as
restricted.
A little more, yeah, a little more risky than Sci-Fi Channel stuff.
A little more accessible.
Did you guys see the next season trailer for Man
so
of the
Cujo
High Castle?
So Cujo can say fuck.
No, I did not see that. What?
Yeah, they had a preview for next season of Man in the High Castle.
I do like that show.
Yeah, it looks very different what they're doing this season.
Yeah. I'm always surprised. I mean, that is not a long story. And they have really, like, yeah, taken it to, like, another.
They really stretched that Philip K. Dick out.
Yeah. Yeah. Stroked that story right out to its maximum length.
They're pulling rope, as it will?
Too far.
Too far. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
No. All right, that's all I got at the front of the long box. Tom, you got anything socially relevant? I'm going to get a drink while we wait for Tom to respond.
Sorry, folks. It seems like I have a little bit of lag going on. But I did want to talk about the gun issue just really quickly. A bunch of tweets that he made over 10 years ago are kind of coming back to bite him in the ass. And some of them are pretty hard to read. One of them was the best part about being raped is once it's done, it's, oh, thank God, at least I'm not being raped anymore. Neither funny nor really that provocative, just kind of a douchey thing to say. But we're talking about an artist who is trying to be provocative 10 years ago. Disney saying something you did or said in the past is preventing someone from working for them is kind of like, you know, missing the moat in one's own eye. Disney only has to go back and look at the Song of the South and, you know, kind of see that, you know, they made plenty of mistakes of their own. They're remaking Dumbo right now, and I'm pretty sure the singing magpie scene is going to be left out or at least modified quite a bit. So I really think that, you know, maybe he deserves a second chance. He's apologized. He's a much different guy than he was 10 years ago, as we all are. And Josh, if everyone could read everything you said or did 10 years ago, would you come out smelling like a rose?
No, I'm going to swing a little bit in the other direction here. It's written in a public – this isn't something he said at a party. It was something that was – he knew he was posting for all of eternity on Yield Internet. The Song of the South was 1946. Those people who wrote it aren't even alive. It was 10 years ago in a world where there needed to be some sensitivity around that. And so I'm not 100% against him for any reason, but I'm also not 100% for it. I can see why a company now in today's climate might say people who have said this thing on the public record, it's written. Anybody who wants to go find it can find it. It's not a rumor that he said it. It's not a feeling that he said it. He wasn't on stage as a stand-up comedian when he said it. It's not 100% unreasonable.
I'm going to disagree, and here's why. I don't think he was trying to make a joke, right? Now, sure. Look, obviously we have a difference between freedom of speech and freedom of consequences. So, yes, there are consequences to what you say in public. Right. And that's what this is what we're dealing with right now. But they're making it seem like he is a horrible person. He made a bad joke. It's not like he promotes sex with children. Right. He is not one of those guys out there who thinks it's OK. He's not one of those guys out there who thinks rape is OK, even though he was making a rape joke. So I think he's getting a really bad rap for this. And by the way, he had already apologized for those tweets. This is all because some right-wing trolls decided, okay, he said something bad about somebody we like, so we're going to go out and find some bad shit about him and make him pay for it. And that's what they did. Disney didn't even bother to take a step back and look at the situation before they asked him to step down from Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Now, I agree. There's due diligence that needs to be done on Disney's side or any other side of the argument. And if, you know, I mean, people just get tried in the court of public opinion. And if Disney decided that their bottom line is going to be impacted enough by this, if it was just like 5 or 10 guys like whipping this up into a frenzy and nobody really cared, that's one thing. And I don't know the whole, you know, I don't know every gritty detail of the whole thing, but when you have to deal with, you know, dollars and cents, that's what Disney is doing. Disney doesn't honestly care whether or not the guy has a job or not. They just want to make sure that that it doesn't impact their bottom line. And that's the decision they're making, right?
Yeah, and Hollywood's never been very famous for that. I mean, how many movies has Roman Polanski made? Right?
More than you'd hope?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. I mean,
Polanski has made so many movies that if his movies were children, he wouldn't want to be with them.
Nobody condones what Roman Polanski did, and he has certainly been tried in the court of public opinion, but I think karma has certainly had its way with Roman Polanski.
That was a good joke, Tom. You're going to get fired. You're going to get fired for Disney for that joke, just so you know.
That's okay. I think I'm okay with that. Tommy, what do you got in the back of the law box for us, brother?
In the back of the law box, I have AVP. That's right. Archie versus Predator.
Wow. I did not see that one coming.
I didn't see that coming.
Second shortest comic book ever, right behind Bambi versus Godzilla, but go on.
That's right. The Riverdale crew decide to do spring break down in an island in Costa Rica, and there's a predator down there, and he sees the conflict going on between Betty and Veronica and thinks that, hey, these people are warriors. And so he starts taking out the Archie crew. He follows them all the way back to Riverdale. And he kills basically all of Archie's friends, except for Betty and Veronica. And this was a great, fun little Archie story. If you're a fan of Archie comics or a fan of Predator, I think you'd enjoy it. It's, like I said, a fun little romp. With a twist at the end, and it was just a nice little, like I said, fun little story, Archie versus Predator.
If I guessed the quick little thing at the end, will you tell me if I'm right?
Yes.
Was the Predator actually the school principal?
Mr. Weatherby?
Mr. Weatherby? Ah, damn it.
Did he have Mr. Weatherby's skull in his spaceship?
That never appeared in the comic, to my knowledge.
That's a solid question, though, Mike.
But it is a solid question.
Look, did Moose put up a fight?
A lot of people were just taken out. So, I mean, strangely enough, the Archie crew were not very good at fighting the Predator, except for Betty and Veronica.
Well, yeah, because if the Predator really wanted to challenge him in their kind of combat, it would be cattiness.
Yeah. The Predator would open his locker and there'd be like a picture of him with like stuff on it. And he'd be like, what?
I'm just saying, even Kevin Keller and Kevin Keller's dad didn't survive too long.
They all went about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I will say this for Archie Comics. They are fearless when it comes to crossovers. In addition to Archie and Predator, they've had crossovers with Kiss, Batman 66, Sharknado, and of course, the most famous one, The Punisher, which, god damn it, if that wasn't an enjoyable comic.
Now I want to read it.
I found it in a quarter bin. I was so happy.
You're about to say something, Tom? I can't tell if you're just like lagging or
pausing and thinking.
I was kind of both pausing and thinking there. Some of the great crossovers. I like the Glee crossover with Archie and the gang. That was a lot of fun too. And the Ramones. Let's not forget that one.
And the one with George Takei, where they are all thrown into a prisoner of war camp.
Wait, really?
Too soon. Sorry.
Too soon.
Never going to work for Disney. God
damn
it.
You are never going to work for Disney. It's going to come up soon, isn't it?
That is. George Takei did have a crossover with Kevin Keller, and it was written by a friend of the podcast, Dan Parent. It was excellent.
They talk a lot about trains.
Sure, why not?
George Takei is a tireless advocate for a train, getting more trains into highly densely populated areas for transportation.
I did not know that.
That's what he's best known for me.
Yeah. Really? That's what he's best known for?
Honest to God, that's the first thing that comes to mind because I've read a bunch of his papers on it. He is really, really well-versed in this. He's considered a national expert on bringing trains to populated urban areas.
That's weird.
We're talking about George Takei here from Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takei.
He's mostly about trains now.
Yeah.
Oh,
I follow him on Facebook, but he never posts about trains. That's weird.
Never talks about trains.
Nor on Twitter.
Am I drunk?
Probably.
Probably.
All right. Sorry, that might have just been a weird tangent I went on. Josh, do you have a tangent?
I did. We kind of ran rampant a little bit over. Mike brought up the trailers. I was going to bring up, because Spider-Verse is coming, and if you haven't watched the full trailer for that, that looks awesome.
You're talking about the cartoon?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was going to go with favorite full-length animated feature.
I really like Justice League War. I thought it really did a good job of kind of bringing the Justice League together for the first time and also kind of introducing the powers and the power sets and the people together while also not taking forever to do that. And just had a great storyline.
I'm going to go with WALL-E.
I liked WALL-E.
I just enjoyed the heck out of that, and it made me cry.
Aww.
If he was only a giant robot, he would have gotten my vote in this week's GOAT, which was on Greatest Giant Robot of All Time. You can check that out by going to our Patreon page, patreon.com/thelongboxguys. And for just $1 a month, just one measly dollar a month, you can get access to our bonus podcast, The GOAT. Sorry, I went off on a tangent in the middle of your tangent. Tommy, what's your favorite?
You know, right now I would have to say Justice League Dark. I really enjoyed that one. Super fun to watch, and it's just on my mind. Maybe it won't hold up, but I just watched it a couple of weeks ago, and I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to have to go with Akira.
Akira?
Yeah.
Akira!
If you guys haven't seen Akira, so good. They just spent so long on multi-layered animation that was just so intense. I just love that movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Akira, too, and I almost said Akira, but the giant teddy bear thing always kind of throws me off.
Oh, okay, I've seen it.
I've also been told Red Line. I need to go watch Red Line. Has anyone seen Red Line?
I've heard good things about it, but yeah, I have not seen it.
Yeah, people keep telling me, go see Red Line, and I can't find it anywhere. Anyone know that's on a streaming service anywhere, Red Line? None of you are helpful. Okay, carry on. Seriously, carry on.
Carry on. Well, that's a perfect segue into carrying on with our mission here, which is to go to plugs. Mikey, what do you got to plug?
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com or go buy their music on both Bandcamp and iTunes. I'd also like to thank our fellow podcasters. The Nola Nerd Couple is back. And let me say a little something. If you have not listened to the last Nola Nerd Couple podcast, it is so sweet. I don't mean to wax poetically, but I almost teared up thinking about what a cute couple this is. Because at one point, Mrs. Nola Nerd, while she was pregnant, suffered from a thing called prepartum depression, which I didn't know existed. Apparently it does. It's like postpartum depression, but happens during the pregnancy itself. And in order for them to deal with it, Mr. Nola Nerd was the one who brought it up to his wife and said, hey, look, you're acting differently. This is what I'm seeing. Maybe we should, you know, go to the doctor and get this looked at. And I think that's an amazing trait for couples to have, where they can just talk to each other honestly when somebody's mood or something changes in them, then that they're that in tune that they can pick up on that and deal with it in a calm, rational manner. So I know this has nothing to do with all their Nerd Stuff podcast, but they're just such an adorable couple. If you get a chance, go check out the Nola Nerd Couple podcast. You won't be disappointed. And if you are, I don't give a shit.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Mike, are you trying to tell us something? Does somebody need to go see something?
I'm going to talk to Tom about that offline.
It's Tom, isn't it?
It's definitely Tom.
He needs to see someone.
Yeah.
My name is Tom, and I don't have good enough bandwidth.
That's goddamn true. What is wrong with your neighborhood?
LT, what do you got?
I would like to promote GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com?
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hi, Tammy.
GeekOrthodox.com. Purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things like Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, stained glass prints, and many, many other things.
Yeah, have you been looking at all the stained glass prints that they've been doing getting ready for Dragon Con coming up? It's been awesome. They're working on a Jurassic Park one right now that I can't wait to see. Yeah, it's going to be cool.
That will be cool. All their stuff is great.
Well, folks, I have to say Epic Nerd Camp. I believe registration closes in 1 week. There are still tickets left. I will be teaching sword stuff and running a trivia contest and DMing some RPGs. So come on out to the Poconos and enjoy a week in adult summer camp.
How adult are we talking here, Josh?
Pretty adult.
And I think that just about does it for us, guys. Sorry about the lag there. And Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics. Hey, Josh. Tom's lagging a lot. Is his cable bandwidth your sector?
Absolutely Josh, not.
Josh, I got this one. It's not Josh's sector, otherwise it would be taken care of by now.
Seriously, yeah. I'm a professional, Mike.
That's true. LT, you got any words of wisdom for us?
Well, since Tom can't stop me, it's, you know, guys, don't diss what you hate. Promote what you love. You'll live a lot longer.
You won't.
Do you have anything to add to that?
We'll wait.
Just remember what I always say, be good to each other, guys. I love y'all, and thanks for hanging out with me tonight, even though my bandwidth was laggy.
Love you, bye-bye.
Love you, bye-bye. Go six in the bed when the Fraggle Girls said roll over, roll over. There were five in the bed when the Cuckoo Girls said roll over, roll over. And there were two in the bed when the Skrull Girls said lock, 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 lock. So we all left, and we cuddled through the night with the head on my chest. I didn't even hear her leave, cause I was snoring, cause she had to go to work, cause it was Saturday morn. Everybody, and welcome to Outside the Dam.
Let's start that again.
Test 1, 2.
Testicles 1, 2.
Testicles. I have testicles.
Check.
Check. Check.